So remember, Jesus wants you to believe. I think that's a very powerful part of our story today, that he wanted Thomas so much to believe that he showed up again and invited Thomas to put his hands in his nail-scarred hands and in his side, that he might be a believer, no longer a doubter. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. So just remember in your own life, if you think God likes to leave you in a haze, if you think God wants to just leave you with your doubts, it is not true. God wants to invite you even more deeply into faith wherever you are in your life and to make a step toward him in that. And also just realize there may be people around you who doubt, who have questions, who aren't sure about things. I just met with somebody the other day who's in that place, has been for a long time. You know what? Invite them to stay on the journey. Invite them not to give up. Pray for them. Be open to trying to be part of God's answer to them. Because doubt is a part of life. Struggle is a part of life. But the Lord is constantly inviting us to grow more deeply into faith and to follow him. One of the realities we see that happening is in our first lesson today in 2 Chronicles. And in this particular lesson, God is inviting Solomon and inviting the people of Israel to continue to be faithful to him in the midst of their lives and all that they're going through. And I want to illustrate that today with a story and share with you the following. I'm sure many of you have heard of George Washington Carver, very famous, famous American. The scientist who developed hundreds of useful products for, of all things, the peanut. And he shares the following about that journey. When I was young, I said, God, tell me the mystery of the universe. But God answered, that knowledge is reserved for me alone. So I said, God, tell me the mystery of the peanut. Then God said, well, George, that's more nearly your size. And he told me. Isn't that an amazing story? You know, as I was preparing for this message, I didn't know that about George Washington Carver and how his journey with the peanut began, if you will. I don't know about you, but if I was asking God to reveal to me the mystery of the universe, I would think God would be pretty happy about that. And I would be kind of, I'm just being honest with you, I'd be kind of upset about God saying, yeah, the peanut's more your size. I just have some feelings about that. But you know what? George didn't. Because that was his immediate response back to God. When God said to him, you know what, the mystery of the universe, that's my secret, George's immediate response from his spirit was, well, then share with me the mystery of the peanut. What an incredible response. Again, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'd leave a situation like that, and 5 minutes later, I'd come up with that line. Oh, I wish I would have said that. I wish I would have thought of that back then, right? But he had it in the moment. Because that was God's destiny for him. And God revealed to him all kinds of things about the peanut. I'm going to share about that at the end of my message. But I want to share with you this point that our brother George Washington Carver brings home to us. And that is the importance of humility. The importance of humility, especially before God. I mean, here's George Washington Carver, who goes on to be an incredible scientist, does great things for mankind, asking God to reveal to him the mystery of the universe. And the reason why he prayed that prayer was because that was on his heart. He had an interest to know that, because that's part of who God made him to be. And yet God said to him, you know what, in so many words, that's above your pay grade. Well, how about the peanut? Yeah, that's more your size. I'll let you know about the peanut. What humility. What surrender. And you know, a lot of times in our lives, and in a way there's nothing wrong with this, we're looking for the stars. We're looking for great success. We want people to recognize us. We want to do the great things that everybody will recognize and recognize us for. And beloved, just hear this as we see it in our brother George's life. A lot of times we miss what God really has for us. The peanut that God has for us. And it may not seem like much to you, But God, it's amazing what God can do with a peanut. And isn't part of what we're learning about life in our human journey right now is that the world can be found in a molecule. And we're just making discoveries about that. And it's by the mercy of God and God opening up our minds to be able to perceive and understand things over time. What is it? We only use 0.1% of our mind? And that was since the fall, by the way. That's what I believe. Since the fall, that was part of the fall, is that we didn't have full use of our minds anymore. But, you know, God's restoring it a little bit by little. But it comes through humility and surrender to what God wants to do in your life and what God's purpose is for you. So take a look at 2 Chronicles 7 with me. I'm going to, over the next 3 weeks, take some time with this scripture with you, and I'm going to break it down sentence by sentence because there's a lot in here, and I don't want to rush through it. And the reason why I'm focusing in on this particular scripture is it's incredibly timely for us. I've talked about this scripture before, and I'm going to keep coming back to it and keep coming back to it and keep coming back to it because it is that important for the time in which we live. And in this, let me give you context. If you haven't read 2 Chronicles 7 before, I want to encourage you to take time to read it because it's the rest of the story, and it's very important. In this particular chapter in Chronicles, the Lord appears to Solomon. We hear in the story that Solomon's completed the temple and also has completed his house as well. And as he has done this work, as he's completed this work, the Lord comes to him to set the tone for the rest of the journey. And what the Lord says to Solomon is very interesting. He says, I've heard your prayers, and I've chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. As long as you obey my commands, laws, and decrees, I will preserve your throne and Israel. And so what God is saying to Solomon in so many words is simply this: your faithfulness to me matters to me. And that's what God is saying to you and me as well in this lesson too. Our faithfulness to God matters to God. Do we always fulfill this? Are we always faithful to God? No, we're not. Do we blow it? Yes, we do. Do we sometimes make a step forward and then a couple of steps backward? It's like we're dancing around it? Absolutely. But it doesn't change the standard or the direction that the Lord wants us to go in. He's inviting us to continually grow in relationship to him and one another, to continually have a sense of improvement and making progress in faithfulness to him. Our faithfulness to God matters to God. And that's what God is speaking to Solomon, and that's what God is speaking to you and me. And so as God is speaking to Solomon, what happens is God speaks a prophetic word to Solomon about what's about to happen next. And read with me, follow along with me in 2 Chronicles. God says, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. Now, I want you to notice something in that sentence. God uses the word when. Now, if you were just blowing through this, you might not even recognize it, which is why I'm taking time with it. God uses the word when. He doesn't say if. He doesn't say it may happen. He doesn't say it's a possibility or probability. What God says at the very beginning of this sentence is when. So what does that tell you? It tells me it's going to happen. God is saying to Solomon, this is what the people of Israel are going to do when this happens. That's what God's saying. You know the story about the people of Israel, right? You've read some of the Old Testament at least, right? And this is their story. And our story as well. You know what? They're following the Lord. Things are going gangbusters. They're going great. God is blessing them. They're blessing God. And then what happens? They sin. They start going after their idols. God sends prophets. Turn around. Stop going into sin. God speaks his word to them. Don't do this or I'm going to need to bring judgment upon you. Do they listen? No, they don't listen. And so judgment comes upon them. They say, Lord, forgive us. Stop this judgment. And then God forgives them, and the process starts all over again. That's what the Old Testament is. It's full of it, all through there. And it's our story in a way as well. The Israelites were rebelled to the point that the judgments inflicted during the time of Elijah and the prophets, Egypt, and the wilderness will occur again. And if you read the rest of the story after this, that's exactly what happens. When judgments comes, they will need to humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and be reconciled to God. That's what God is speaking to Solomon about. And so again, I want to focus just on this sentence. If my people who are called by my name, and that would be the Israel and church, the church as well, you and me, will humble themselves. See, so that's where it all begins. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need to humble ourselves before him and what God calls sin. That's why it's called the Ten Commandments and not the Ten Suggestions or the Ten Choices or the Ten Options or the Ten, if you want to do it, that's okay, but if you don't want to do it, it's no big deal anyways. You just kind of go ahead and do whatever you want. They're called the Ten Commandments because that is the direction that God wants us to walk in. In fact, Jesus summed them up in the New Testament. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a summation of the Ten Commandments. It's love. Love of God and love of neighbor. And that's the direction we're to walk in. And what we affirm as we walk in these things is that God is good. God is loving. God is beautiful. And as we follow in his way of love, what that looks like, it'll be a beautiful thing. It'll be a good thing. It'll be something that will bless us and bless other people. God gives us direction in our lives because God knows a little bit something about life. He created us. And so as we humble ourselves before his word and we surrender and we say, you know what, God, I agree with you. What I did was wrong. I should have forgiven that person, but I'm just not there yet. And I'm walking in sin. Would you please forgive me? Or I did A, B, and C, and I'm feeling the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Shouldn't have done that. Would you please forgive me? That's agreeing with God. That's agreeing with the Spirit. That's agreeing with his word. And that's humbling yourself before him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, Humility is having a right relationship with God marked by humbleness and surrender. That's what that looks like. And humility is incredibly important, and surrender before God is incredibly important because that's where it all starts, that's where it all begins. Very important. And so we see in the life of our brother, George Washington Carver, that he did this. When he was wanting to know the mystery of the universe, what a wonderful thing to want to know, what a wonderful desire to have in your heart. And God said, but I'll let you know about the peanut. I'll reveal the mystery of the peanut to you. He didn't go off and say, I'm not following you anymore, God. I can't believe you would treat me that way, me of all people. I mean, you're just going to let me know about a peanut of all things? I don't even like peanuts, right? I mean, you can imagine how the conversation went, right? But that's not how he reacted. Humility, surrender, gratefulness. You'll be glad to hear today in closing, I don't have even the time to go through all the things that God revealed to George Washington Carver about the peanut. It's the most amazing thing. When I was preparing for this message, the biggest thing I had to do was to figure out what to include and what to keep out, because I would have had you here all day, and I knew you wouldn't be excited about that. So you know what? I said, Lord, what do you want me to put in here? Because it's kind of amazing. So let me share with you what I could write down. First of all, George Washington Carver, in his study of the peanut, learned a ton of stuff, but I'll share the following with you. First of all, he discovered the soil had been depleted where he lived because the farmers had only been planting cotton. Now, we realize that during his day, and maybe even to this day, cotton is a cash crop. And the farmers were making all kind of money from planting cotton. Why wouldn't you plant cotton? The only problem is as they kept planting cotton year after year, they were depleting the soil of all kinds of nutrients. But guess what? What George Washington Carver discovered was that the crops containing protein replenished the soil. Peanuts. Peanuts. Do you kind of have a feeling that God was way ahead of where George was and kind of knew where he was going and knew that the soil in that area needed replenishment with plants that contained protein? And that's why God was willing to reveal to George Washington Carver what came out of his own heart about the peanut? Could it be? Could be. So the next step for George Washington Carver was to begin to persuade the farmers to plant peanuts because they were convinced about planting cotton. Why wouldn't they be? They made a lot of money off of cotton. That was their cash crop. And so that was the next issue for George. How is he going to get farmers to plant peanuts of all things? And God revealed to him, begin to make the peanut part of the farmer's diet. That's what God revealed to him to do in his research and in his studies. So then he found ways to begin to do that. He began to put out before them peanut soup, peanut butter cookies. I had about three the other day. Peanut candies. Probably not Reese's peanut butter cups yet, but heading in that direction. And peanut butter, right? Peanut oil, peanut milk. He also used peanuts for food dyes, paper, animal feed, glues, medicines, and soaps. By the 1940s, it was the sixth most produced crop in the United States. All because George Washington Carver said yes to what God was willing to reveal to him in terms of the mystery of the peanut. And he surrendered to that. He humbled himself before that. And he spent the rest of his life exploring and receiving from God the mystery and the uses of all things, the peanut. Which is simply to say this. Are you open in your life to humble yourself before God, truly? Are you willing to surrender to His word and His will and direction for your life, whatever that might mean? Are you willing to maybe let go of the grand plans that you have? And they may be grand and beautiful and wonderful. 100%. Are you willing to let go of those and receive the peanut that God wants to give you and wants to open up to you and wants to reveal to you all kinds of things about? You'll be saying in your spirit, Father Joe, it's such a small thing. Who's going to even care? What is it even going to matter? Why would I even want to explore the peanut of my life? Well, remember your brother, George Washington Carver, and the great things and the mighty things that God used him to do as he humbly received what God would give him about, of all things, the peanut.